Greetings in the name of Jesus. My name is Imad Audi, and I hope this message will bless your heart, challenge your mind, and draw you closer to Jesus. The topic we're going to talk about is the fight of faith. The fight of faith. We live in a world that is full of fighting, don't we? And even the Bible tells us to fight. But it's a fight of faith. I would like to begin with a story from World War II. In 1944, the Allies were trying to get into Europe. But they couldn't. They weren't able to. So what they did, they used a variety of misinformation techniques to convince Hitler that there was 350,000 soldiers ready to invade from Scotland to Norway. Norway and Scandinavia, I believe it was. Because they wanted to come down to France, to the beaches of Normandy. Am I getting the names right?
Yes.
I always mix names. Now, what they did is they encrypted some messages, but they allowed the Germans to tap into them. I'm sure some of you know the story. And hear these messages. And the messages were that, yes, they are arranging the invasion and I don't know what. And the Germans consulted their spies, which were double agents. And their spies said, yes, they are going to come from Scotland into Norway. Now, of course, the Germans did not just trust what they could hear. They did not just trust what the spies said. So they send aerials so they can take pictures to make sure it is correct. And they went over Scotland and they took pictures. And sure enough, the pictures showed that there was airplanes and machines. There are already hundreds of them ready to invade. Now, the pictures did not show that these planes were just empty shells made of plywood. And the tanks were rubber blow-up models. So Hitler sent 13 of his army divisions up to Norway to fight the battle there. Because, you know, he cracked the secret and he knew where they're coming from and he went up there. And while these 13 divisions were up there, the Normandy beach in France was not very well protected, and as most of us know, they came from there and they fought a great battle. Sad to say, a lot of people died, but nevertheless, they won the war. They were able to enter Europe, and that was the battle that changed the whole war in World War II, as we all know. Now, why am I sharing with you wars when we seek peace? Well, the lesson I'd like to share from this story is that when we want to fight a fight, it is good to know where to fight it. It is good to know what type of fight to fight and where to fight it. Because when Hitler fought the wrong battle, went up to fight a war in Norway, his real battle was in France. Right? Now, Paul tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, fight the good fight of faith. Okay? Where is that? What is that? Fight the good fight of faith, Paul says. Now for us to know what this good fight of faith is, we need to know, well, what faith is Paul talking about? Right? It is important for us to understand if we really want to fight the good fight of faith. Now, what is faith? To start with,
believe.
As we all know, Hebrews chapter 11, what does it say? Verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So faith is that thing that allows us to believe in the things that we do not see, right? In verse 3 of the same chapter, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, and so on. We were not there when God created the world. We were not there when God did these things. But we read the word of God, we believe it, and by faith, we believe it. So faith are they're the eyes by which we see the things that we cannot see. They are the hands by which we grasp onto things that are not physical, that are not tangible, right? This is faith. Faith is the link between the physical and tangible world and the spiritual and intangible world. That is faith. It is the link between our intellectual belief and the reality we live. Because we hear doctrines, we believe them, and by faith, what we believe comes to life in us, right? Okay, so that is faith. It is important to understand it because it is the difference between intellectual and reality and experiential faith, right? Faith is makes all the difference in our Christian life. Now, what I would like to put to you today is that many of us are fighting the wrong fight of faith. Do you know that? Yeah. Now, how many types of faith is there? Well, what I'd like to tell you today is that there is more than one type of faith, and there is more than one level of faith, right? And when Paul is talking about the fight of faith, he's talking about a specific faith. And if we don't know which faith it is, we might be fighting a wrong fight of faith. Let me explain what I mean. Come with me to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, beginning at verse 13. Thank you. Amen. Romans chapter 10 and beginning at verse 13. Amen. Amen. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Now, Paul in this verse is giving us steps that leads us to salvation, right? The first thing is we hear the gospel. The second thing is that we believe what we hear, right? So you hear about Christ, and the second thing you do, all right, yes, okay, I believe it. It makes sense. So you accept it. That is faith. That is intellectual faith. You believe something intellectually, right? A good example of this type of faith is found in the story in John chapter 11. Come with me to John chapter 11. We'll be flipping through the Bible, reading different stories to pull out the different types of faith. In John chapter 11, beginning at verse 21. We all know the story where Jesus came to raise Lazarus, the brother of Martha. And Martha meet Jesus in here when he arrives in John chapter 11, beginning at verse 21. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Intellectually, she believed, right? She just told him, I believe that whatsoever you ask of God, God will give it to you. She believed, right? She believed. She just said she believed. Let's keep reading verse 23. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And she saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Now, did Martha believe that Jesus is the Messiah? Did Martha believe that Jesus can raise her brother? She just told him, I believe that whatsoever you ask of God, he will give it to you. Right? But did she believe that he can raise her brother? Not necessarily. Martha had an intellectual belief. Doctrinally, she believed he is the Messiah. Doctrinally, she believed that he can raise her brother. Doctrinally, she believed everything you believe. And I believe. But when the rubber meets the road, when later on in the story Jesus comes to raise her brother, we pick up the story in verse 39 of the same chapter. Verse 39, Jesus says, "Take ye away the stone." Martha jumped up and she said, "Lord, by this time he stinketh." She objected. "What are you doing, Jesus? He stinketh." Did Martha believe that Jesus will raise her brother? Okay, but that's not what Jesus was talking about. Jesus came to raise her brother, and she told him, "Whatsoever you ask of God, he will give it to you." Oh, yeah? And if I ask of God to raise your brother now, do you believe he will? Oh, hang on a second. Now, that's a different story, Lord. I didn't know you were going to say that. She objected. Intellectually, she believed, she had faith that he is the Messiah. She had faith that he can raise her brother. But when reality came, she said, no, hang on a second, he stinks. What are you doing? Now, this is an intellectual belief. It's good to have an intellectual belief at first, because many of us first are convicted intellectually. When I first came to the Lord, the first thing I listened to was a prophecy seminar, a Dan and a revelation, and it attracted me intellectually. This makes sense. Right? But it doesn't make me any better than the devils, you know that? Because James tells us that the devils believe and tremble. So the first type of belief that the Bible gives us is an intellectual belief, which the devils have and many Christians have. And they are on the same level. It's just an intellectual belief. There's nothing else. This is one kind of faith or belief that the Bible talks about. Another type of faith can be seen in the story in Mark chapter 2. Come with me to Mark chapter 2. In Mark chapter 2, beginning at verse 3. Amen. Amen. Mark chapter 2, beginning at verse 3. "And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four." Four people carried him. "And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of palsy lay. When Jesus saw their what? When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." Now the Bible tells us that Jesus saw their faith. What type of faith did these people have? Faith at work, yes. Faith that believed that Jesus can help me, right? Faith that believed that if I have a problem, Jesus can solve it. Is this a bad faith? No, it's a good faith, right? Jesus saw their faith and he healed their friend. They had faith that Jesus can help them. First, they heard about Jesus and they believed. Then they called upon. That's what Paul said, right? How will they call upon him unless they first believe? First they heard and they believed on Jesus. Second thing they did, they called. Yes, Jesus can solve my problem. Yes, Jesus can help me. That's a good faith. That is faith in Christ, right? They had faith in Christ that Christ can heal me. Faith in Christ that Christ can help my friend. Good? We agree? All right, this is the second type of faith. A third type of faith is found in Matthew chapter 8. Come with me to Matthew chapter 8. So we saw a faith that only believes intellectually. We saw a faith that believes that Jesus can help me. So you go to Jesus for help. Matthew chapter 8, beginning at verse 5. I'm sure we all know the story, but we'll read it anyway. You all there? "And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and so on. Verse 10, when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, nor not in Israel. The centurion asked Jesus to heal his servant, and the centurion believed that the word of Jesus is good enough, right? He had faith that what Jesus says will happen, right? He not only believed that Jesus can help him, but he also believed that what Jesus says will come to pass. Is this a good faith? It is an excellent faith. Jesus commanded, I have not seen such a faith in all Israel, Jesus said. That's a good faith. This faith believes, trusts, or depends on the word of God to accomplish what it says. It believes that the word of God will do what it says, and it depends upon it to accomplish what it says. That's a good faith. We all like to have that faith, right? But I would like to present to you another faith. Come with me to Matthew chapter 8. This faith is of a different type and level. Matthew chapter 8, beginning at verse 23. We all there? Matthew chapter 8, beginning at verse 23. Same chapter there is. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? He rose up, he rebuked the wind. O ye of little faith. Luke records the same story, you don't have to go there, in Luke chapter 8, verse 25, and he puts it this way. And he, that is Jesus, said unto them, where is your faith? Mark records the same story, Mark chapter 4, verse 40, and he says, and he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? Goodness gracious, Lord, what are you talking about? These people gave up everything for you. What do you mean you have no faith? I want you to think of these words. Now, Jesus wasn't talking to any Jew in here. He was talking to his disciples. He looks at them and he says, how come you have no faith? Now, I want you to think of this a bit. What type of faith was Jesus looking for? Think about it. He told them, you have no faith. Okay. Let's take them one step at a time. Was he looking for the faith that believes intellectually? No, because they had that faith, right? They believed that he's the Messiah. No problem. Okay. Was Jesus looking for the faith that believes that Jesus can help me? What's that? So Jesus was looking for the faith that Jesus can help me and his disciples, right? That's why he told them, you have no faith? No, they have that. Thank you. The disciples came to Jesus and woke him up because they believed, they had faith that Jesus can help them. Yet Jesus rebuked them. He said, you don't have faith. What are you going on about? The third faith we saw is the faith that believes that what Jesus says will come to pass. Was Jesus looking for this faith in his disciples? No. Make up your mind, yes or no?
Yes.
Did the disciples believe that what Jesus says will come to pass? And if you say no, why did they wake him up? The disciples believed that whatever Jesus says will come to pass. They told him, because after this happened in verse 27 in Matthew, they said, but the man marveled, saying, what manner of man is this that even the winds obey his voice. Even the winds obey what he says. The word even implies that they believed before that whatever Jesus says, everybody obeys him. Everything obeys him. His word will come to pass, but they just never seen before that he will speak to the wind and command the wind. So the disciples believed intellectually. The disciples believed that Jesus can help me. The disciples believed that whatever Jesus says will come to pass. They had all these types of faith, yet Jesus looked them in the eye and he said, you have no faith. I mean, man, probably if I was one of the disciples, I would have got offended, you know? What more do you want? I believe that you are Messiah. I believe that you can help me. I believe that whatever you say will come to pass. I left everything for you. We went against the tide. We are laughed at, mocked at because of you. What do you mean I have no faith? Right? Probably I would have said that. I don't know. Maybe I've been quiet like the rest of them, but who knows? But it is obvious that Jesus was looking for a different type of faith. Right? Are you following me? Because Jesus rebuked them. He said, you don't have faith. But they had all these faith that we looked at. He was looking for a different type. Another story. And then I'll explain. In Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17, beginning at verse 14. The sister in the testimony, she mentioned it. I'm sure she will know now when I read it. Matthew chapter 17, beginning at verse 14. We all there? And when they were come to the multitude, that is, by the way, after the Mount of Transfiguration, when Jesus was with the three of his disciples up on the mountain, and when they came down, they came to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic and sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire, and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. There it is again. O faithless generation. What was he talking about? He was talking to everyone, but especially to the disciples who believe that he's the Messiah, who believe that Jesus can help me, who believe that whatever Jesus says will come to pass. He said, you are a faithless generation. What are you talking about? What kind of faith do you want me to have, Lord? Right? It's a logical question. Verse 18, and Jesus rebuked the devil and he departed out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your, for verily I say unto you, if ye have, what? Faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall be removed. And then he says, howbeit this kind goeth not out, but prayer and fasting. He told his disciples, you could not do it because of unbelief and because you don't have faith as a grain of a mustard seed. Man, that is offensive. I mean, these people gave up everything. You don't have belief, he told them. You don't have faith. Not even the size of a grain of a mustard seed. Man alive, what type of faith is he looking for? What belief did they need to believe? He told them, because of your unbelief, I believe you're the Messiah. I believe you can help me. I believe that whatever you say will come to pass. What do you mean I don't believe? What do you mean I don't have faith? What are you talking about? Have you ever thought about these things? And Paul comes along the line and he says, by the way, fight the fight of faith. Yeah. What fight is that? Here they are. They fought it. They had faith that he's the Messiah. They were rebuked. They had faith that Jesus can help them. They were rebuked. They had faith that whatever Jesus says will come to pass. They were rebuked. What fight do you want me to fight, Paul? Be careful so we don't do the mistake that Hitler did. We end up fighting the wrong battle. So what faith was he talking about? It is easy for me to believe that Jesus is the Messiah. It is easy for me to believe that he is the Son of God. It is easy for me to believe that Jesus can save me. And it is easy for me to believe that Jesus is to appear, if Jesus is to appear in this room and he is to look at a sick person and talk to him, his word will come to pass. That person will be healed. It's easy for me to believe that. Isn't it easy for you? Who of you doubts that Jesus is the Messiah? Who of you doubts that Jesus can save you? Who of you doubts that Jesus can heal the sick and raise the miracle, raise the dead, and whatever he says will come to pass? Who of you doubt that? Now tell me, if you were on that boat, or if you were down that mountain, and Jesus had come, would he have rebuked you the way he rebuked the disciples, or would he have commended you? What faith is he talking about? You see, when Jesus rebuked the apostles in the boat and when he rebuked the apostles at the mountain, he rebuked them because they did not have the faith that they already have the power to cast out the devil. They already have the power to stand up and rebuke the wind. Blank looks. Remember in my earlier message? Remember somebody like me was here in this morning and he shared a message? Anybody remembers what I spoke about? I think I was here. I remember somebody like me up here, up the front. Do you remember what I shared? You've asked and you what? You've asked and you received. Because he's not a liar. Now the fight that you ought to fight, it's not that if I ask, will he give me? No. Anybody believes that? The fight that you ought to fight is that I already received. This is the fight of faith that Paul is talking about. That I already received the power. I am already the Son of God. Christ is already living in me. This is the fight of faith. We spend all our life fighting this fight of faith. Yes. Yes, he can help me. Yes, I believe, I'm determined he can help me. Come on, move on. Yes, okay, move on to the next step. I believe that he has already helped me. I believe that he has already given it to me. When are we going to take this next step and fight the real fight of faith? Fight the fight of faith, Paul said. Which fight it is? You know, in 1 John, we are told, John tells us, come with me to 1 John chapter 5. First John chapter 5 and verse 4. An interesting verse. First John chapter 5 and verse 4. Amen. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. This verse is telling me that it's my faith that will overcome the world. Now, believing that Jesus can help me is having faith in Jesus. But believing that Jesus has already given me the power, believing that Jesus is already living in me, believing that Jesus already can do this thing in me, is having the faith of Jesus. Can you see the difference? One, I believe in Jesus and everything on the outside. He's out there. I believe in everything. I have faith in everything he can do out there. The other one is faith in Jesus in here. That he is already here. He already has done it. I already have the power. He already is in me. Can you see the difference? One is faith in Jesus. One is the faith of Jesus. The victory is our Faith. Faith of what? Faith in what? It's not our efforts that will get us the victory. It's not my determination that will get me the victory. It is my faith that will get me the victory. Faith in what? We read the verse earlier, in the earlier presentation this morning, that the victory is given to us as a gift. So your faith that you already have the gift, not that you will receive the gift, not that if you pray hard enough you will receive it. No. Your faith that you already have the gift is your victory. This morning, we prayed. You prayed. You asked and you received. In this presentation, I'm trying to tell you, brothers and sisters, it is time to actually fight the fight of faith that you already received what you asked for. This morning you had faith that if you ask, he will give you. What I'm telling you this afternoon is have faith that he already gave it to you. We shouldn't make a mockery of God. Wake up in the morning, Lord, please give me the life of your son. 5 minutes later, Lord, please give me the life of your son. In the afternoon, Lord, please give me... Hey! What are you praying to? A wall here? What are you... Nobody hears it. What do you think? I don't hear your prayer. What do you think? I'm not answering. I already gave it to you. Start asking for faith to believe that you already received it. This is the fire of faith, brothers and sisters. This is the fire of faith that we ought to fight. So many of us, we spend our life fighting the wrong battle, fighting to have faith in Jesus out there. But the real fight of faith is Jesus in here. Amen. In here. This is what we ought to battle with. This is what we ought to fight. That I am already a new creature. Not that if I pray, God will make me a new creature. You had that faith yesterday, and you prayed, and you asked. It's about time you believe what you asked. And this is the fire of faith that we ought to fight. Revelation 14:12, what does it say? Here's the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith. It doesn't say the faith in Jesus. The faith of Jesus. If you want to be part of the 144,000, and we saw a presentation, I believe it was yesterday or this morning, talking about the 144,000 yesterday, well, you got to have this faith. And how do you obtain this faith, by the way? How many push-ups do you have to do? Tell me something. Do you think when Jesus comes to live in you, he will leave his faith behind? He that has given you his son, how much more will he give you all things with him, the Bible says. So again, this morning, when you prayed, did you receive? Do you think Jesus came faithless in you? He came with his faith. You already have it. You already have his faith. Because you have him. Because you have asked. And because God does not lie. And because God answered your prayer. And he gave you the power. He gave you the spirit of his son. He gave you his son. And his son came with his faith. And you already have it. Amen. Now Paul gets up. And he says, now brothers and sisters, fight the fight of faith that you already have what you asked for. Now this makes sense. Doesn't it? So when Jesus rebuked the apostles on the boat, he rebuked the apostles down the mountain. He was rebuking them because they did not have the faith that they already have what he has given them. He told them, faithless generation, where is your faith? How come you don't have faith? How come you don't believe that you already have the power over the devil and his kingdom? Amen? Amen. Now, how do we make this practical? I'd like to make things practical because it's only when we make it practical that it makes sense, right? Let us say somebody has a problem with smoking or with drinking or with anger. Right? Now, the Bible says, ask and you shall receive. You kneel down and you ask God to give you the victory. And he tells you, you know what, son? I've already given it to you in Christ. What do you do then? What do you do then? You ask him for a victory and he gives you the victory. But you don't feel any different. But we saw this morning, we don't go by feeling. We go by what the Word of God says. Now, you get off your knees and you have to start fighting the fight of faith. That you already have the victory. And you know what? I don't smoke anymore. I'm a new creature. The old creature smoked. I don't smoke. End of story. And when the craving comes, you know what craving is? It's a feeling. It's a feeling. Feeling is a lie. We don't go by feeling. We go by the Word of God. Jesus said you already have the victory. He said you are a new creature in Christ Jesus. I don't smoke. I don't drink. End of story. Now when the craving comes, it is then and there when you are to fight the fight of faith. Not that God will give you the victory tomorrow. I'll just have a smoke today and tomorrow he'll give it to me. No. That God has already given it to you. That you are already a new creature in Christ Jesus. You are already a creature who doesn't smoke and who doesn't drink. This is the fight of faith. Amen? This is the fire of faith that Paul was talking about. And the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 6, verse 11, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Reckon ye yourself. What does reckon? Consider yourself dead to sin. Paul is saying you consider yourself dead to the smoking, dead to the drinking, dead to anger, whatever it is, you're dead to it. I don't smoke, I don't drink, I'm dead. I don't do these things anymore. Why? Because God said he has given me the victory. That is the fire of faith. I already have the victory. I already have the power to live like a son of God. I am already set free because Jesus said, if the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. He means what he says, and he says what he means. You are already free. Do you believe it? That's the question. Now, of course, we are not to be careless and reckless. And when we pray and we believe and we have this faith that we already have the victory, we get up and we go to the pub where they smoke and they drink. We don't do that. Why? Because Paul tells us in Romans 13, come with me to Romans 13, and verse 14, Romans 13, and verse 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Paul is saying, look, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and now since you have put on the Lord Jesus Christ, don't make provision for the flesh. Don't go sit in the pub where everybody's smoking and drinking and you're making a provision for your flesh to be invoked and go back to these old habits and you say, well, Lord, now I'm going to practice my faith. No, this is carelessness. This is carelessness. This is not faith. This is presumption. Unless, of course, God sends you there, that's a different story. So don't make any provision for the flesh. So again, brothers and sisters, following up from this morning, when you have asked, God honored what you asked and he gave you. You received. Paul comes along and he says, fight the good fight of faith and lay hold onto eternal life. Lay hold on this eternal life. Fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on this eternal life. Fight the good fight of faith that you already received the Son of God. You already received the eternal Son of God. And lay hold by this fight unto eternal life. Because if you believe it, you believe that you already have eternal life. Do you know that? I didn't say a heresy, by the way. Amen. If you have the Son of God, you already have eternal life. That's what John says in 1 John chapter 5. I say unto those who believe on the Son of God that they might know that ye have eternal life. And eternal life is found in his Son. So if ye have the Son of God, which you claim that you asked and you received, you already have eternal life. You know why? Because you already have an eternal being living in you. That is Jesus Christ. Amen. You're going to live his life on this planet, and you're going to continue to live his life in heaven. So fight the good fight of faith. Not that Jesus will help you, not that Jesus can help you, but Jesus has already helped you. He has already given you the power. You can already do these things because Christ is living in you. This is the fight of faith. And I am one of those who spent a lot of times fighting the wrong fight of faith. Lord, please help me. Lord, please help me. And if only my ears can be open, I'll hear the Lord say, son, I've already helped you. I've already given it to you. When are you going to actually start believing that I helped you? When are you going to start believing that you are a new creature so you can live like a new creature? So many of us are waiting to feel like a new creature before we can live like a new creature. But the Word of God says you already are a new creature in Christ Jesus. You already received Him. Amen? Amen. So I just wanted to share this with you just to emphasize what I was sharing this morning, that the fight of faith, brothers and sisters, it is the fight to go on. It is the next step after believing, reading and believing in the true Son of God, reading and believing in the message of righteousness by faith. And the next step is to actually believe that you have received it and fight that fight of faith. Amen? All right, let us pray in closing. Our Father in heaven above, we thank you, dear Lord, with all our hearts for the faith that you have given us, the faith of your Son, Jesus. Lord, we know, we confess that we are but mortals. We are weak without you and without Jesus. But Father, we also know that your word says, Jesus said that he has given to us all power to overcome the wicked one. So Father, I pray that you'll help each and every one of us in here to fight the good fight of faith, that we already have this power, that we are already your sons and daughters in Christ, that we are already new creatures. We already have eternal life in Christ. Help us, Father, to believe it and help us to fight this fight so Jesus can truly live his life in us. Is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you have been blessed by this message, please share it with others and do not forget to subscribe. God bless you.